stand by. Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Health-Based Application Automation Using System Automation for ZOS and OmegaMon. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. In this teleconference, you'll learn how the new IBM Tivoli System Automation for ZOS helps you proactively manage availability and performance through performance-driven automation. The speaker for today's teleconference is Jürgen Holz, Advisory Software Engineer, IBM Tivoli System Automation Technology Development. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to our speaker, Jürgen Holz.
Thank you. Welcome to this presentation about health-based application automation using system automation for ZOS and OmegaMon. My name is Jürgen Holz, and I am a member of the system automation development team in Böblingen, Germany. I have a lot of information that I'd like to share with you today, so I don't want to beat around the bush and start right away. If you have questions, please keep them till the end of the presentation, where I am more than happy to entertain any questions as best as I can. So let's proceed to the next slide. Please notice the copyrights on slide 2 before I move to slide 3. Here's today's agenda. I start with a motivation of what we, the System Automation Lab, understand by health-based application automation. After that, I'll briefly review the existing means to monitor your system and to be informed in case something gets odd. This leads us then to monitor resources, a system automation resource type that enables health monitoring and automation based on health status changes. The next topic then will discuss how to use monitor resources in combination with OmegaMon for health-based application automation. The topic concludes with a couple of scenarios that show you how automation and monitoring can play together to provide better service for your customers. Finally, I will conclude with a short summary of all this. So let's move on to slide 4. System automation for ZOS has a fairly long history. If you look how it evolved, you notice that it started quite simple. Like other automation products as well, one of the first tasks was to filter the vast amount of messages to present to the operator just what's necessary. Of course, system automation can react on messages. It is able to detect hardware and software failures and allows you to set up rules to alert somebody or even to perform recovery. Another bread and butter task is the management of the automated resources, considering all the dependencies that might exist between such resources. Without having to write scripts, system automation lets you start, stop, or recycle, for example, address spaces. Should other address spaces depend on the recycled one, they can be recycled as well in the right order. The concept of groups allows you to ensure that your business applications are becoming highly available. Should a component fail on one system, for example, an SAP NQ server, the component can be restarted automatically on another system in the Sysplex. SA goes even one step further. It then makes also sure that the NQ replication server, to stick with this example, is moved to yet another system to retain high availability again. As said above, simply by defining rules and avoiding programming code. The most recent step in the evolution is the step towards proactive automation. The idea behind that is that system automation understands the health status of the system and all of its applications. Rather than waiting for a more severe status, it allows you to react on the first signs of potential outages. For SA to understand the health status, some sort of health monitoring is required. On the next two charts, I'd like to illustrate briefly what is meant by this. So let's move to page 5. Suppose there is no health monitoring concept. What does the automation know about an application? And here I should add that by application I really mean the address space, the smallest manageable unit or resource that system automation is able to handle. Of course, multiple of such resources can be combined in a group, and the group status then can tell you something about the higher-level business application. But back to the question. From messages, either issued by the system or by the application itself, the automation merely knows whether the application is up or down. Once it is up, there is usually no indication whether the application is performing good or bad. For example, if applications are loaded too heavily, some of the requests might time out. Other applications may assume that this sick application is not responding anymore and start with sympathy sickness. Failure to detect this early will at minimum cause performance degradation for your end users, but it may also cause an outage of the whole application. Since an application outage typically translates to a business outage, such incidents can be measured in dollars or euros, and therefore it is important to avoid outages at all or reduce the time to repair to a minimum. Let's go to the next slide. With health monitoring, automation can now detect gradient health states and react whenever an application becomes degraded. The kind of reaction depends on the root cause, if it is known, and other characteristics of such an application. For example, misclassified test jobs that consume excessive CPU and therefore prevent CPU access for other workloads could be canceled. Some applications don't scale very well vertically, so automation can start another copy of that application to scale out horizontally. If the system itself becomes sick, business-critical applications may be moved to another system in the Sysplex cluster. And finally, as a last resort, it may also be possible to attempt a shutdown quickly, for example of a database, to avoid long recovery times at restart if the database would fail all of a sudden. In any case, the goal of health monitoring is to fix the problem before an outage occurs. Let's move to slide 7. I talked about health monitoring on the last two slides. How does this relate to automation? For sure, system automation doesn't add its own set of monitoring routines and invent the wheel anew. Rather, it is based on a very solid foundation built by the IBM Tivoli monitoring products. These monitoring products already cover all the aspects of performance and availability for various areas like resource monitoring, middleware, messaging, J2EE applications, network, and so on. With the next release of system automation for COS version 3.2 coming end of this year, the whole range of monitoring products on the COS platform is supported. You can use system automation for exception monitoring. The OmegaMon Classic interface enables exception monitoring based on IBM Tivoli OmegaMon Classic monitors for NVS, KIX, DB2, and IMS. System automation is enhanced in version 3.2 to be informed about situations that arise from true conditions collected by any of the Tivoli OmegaMon XE products, the Tivoli Composite Application Management products, and any other product based on the IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure. At the same time, system automation also offers a SOAP interface to request SOAP services offered by the Tivoli Enterprise Monitoring Server in a simple way. If the exception or situation information is tied to monitor resources, you can map low-level resource information to a higher-level health status and automate on behalf of health status changes. This opens up a whole range of possibilities how to handle such incidents. For example, SA now knows the severity of the sickness and can react in different ways to cure the business. Let's continue. Slide number 8 summarizes the roadmap of system automation's integration with Tivoli monitoring. We started 3 years ago when we shipped an APAR that included a sample policy to automate all of the former Candle products. At that time, this was still SA version 2.3. In September 2005, we shipped system automation for COS version 3.1. It completed the first major step consisting of the integration with the Big Four OmegaMon Classic products. With version 3.1, the automation can access a wealth of performance and availability data, you can issue OmegaMon Classic commands, and you can perform health-based automation based on exceptions reported by any of the OmegaMon Classic monitors. Early 2007, another milestone was completed, namely the integration into the Tivoli Enterprise portal. Automation data is now presented side-by-side with performance and availability data from the various IBM Tivoli monitoring products. The portal, also called TEP, provides a consistent interface for the user, and so the same or similar capabilities are offered for the system automation product as are available for other products integrated into the TEP, for example, OmegaMon XE for COS. By end of 2007, we'll complete the third major milestone. System automation for COS version 3.2 will integrate with the OmegaMon XE products and all other products based on the IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure. In analogy to the classic integration, performance and availability data can now be collected through the standardized SOAP interface. But the scope of data is much larger. It includes, for example, WebSphere information, messaging, and network, to just name a few. Also, system automation can be informed about situations when they occur, and the health status can be derived from such incidents. No polling is necessary anymore, as it was the case with OmegaMon Classic Exception Monitoring. The last button on this roadmap is a placeholder for future refinements. Now that we have the infrastructure, the intention is to step-by-step offer you complete integration scenarios following the direction of proactive automation that I introduced to you before. Let's move to the next slide. Now that you know why system automation provides health-based automation capabilities, let's briefly review how you can perform resource and exception monitoring using the OmegaMon Classic and XE products. Please move to the next slide. Exception monitoring using the OmegaMon Classic monitors is accomplished with the LEXI command. Whenever this command is invoked, exception analysis is kicked off. The result of this analysis is typically a set of one or more exceptions with either system or resource scope. Other than the exception threshold itself, the way OmegaMon internally calculates the value that is compared to a threshold cannot be changed. The example on slide 10 shows five exceptions. There is one system exception called plus blank xrep, representing the number of outstanding operator replies. In addition, you see four, in this case address-based exceptions, two for the master and two for the PC auth address spaces. Let's go to the next slide to see how the threshold can be set. Exception thresholds are set using the OmegaMon XACB command. Here, the value 85 can be overtyped to set the threshold for the common storage area utilization below the 16 megabyte line. When you identify the thresholds for exception monitoring using system automation, I recommend to turn the display state off for all exceptions not of interest and save the settings in a special profile. Later on, when you establish OmegaMon sessions from inside system automation, you use this profile and will benefit from reduced CPU consumption as only the set of interesting exceptions is monitored. On slide 12, you see how situations are monitored using the Tivoli Enterprise portal. A situation is much like an exception. In essence, it describes an incident where a deviation from the norm can be observed. While exceptions compare a single attribute against the threshold, situations can consist of multiple logical expressions. It is even possible to include other situations in an outer situation. OmegaMon XE and other IBM Tivoli monitoring products deliver typically a set of product-provided situations. They can be used as a starting point, and you can modify them or create your own ones as you wish. To do that, you have to enter the situation editor. An example is shown on this slide. As the window shows, two attributes are compared against some value. The status of the crypto key dataset is compared against active, and the utilization of the crypto key dataset must be 80% full or more. Only if both comparisons are true, the situation is true. In the example, a critical event will be generated in such a case, and you will notice this on the TAPS event console, but also on the TAPS navigator view. Let's move to the next slide to see what else you can do. This is the same window as shown on the previous slide, but now the action tab is shown in front. On this dialog, you can enter what is called a reflex automation and its options. So whenever a situation is true, you can issue a system command or issue a universal message. There are a couple of options to control this processing, and I'm not going to cover this in this presentation. The point I'd like to make is that this dialog is key to inform system automation for CUS about situations. We'll come back to this later on. Let's move on to the next slide. Our next topic is to review the system automation monitor resource. I talk about it because it is the key component for SA's health monitoring. The monitor resource is where the health status origins. From there, it can be propagated to higher level resources. It is also the home of commands and recovery actions related to the object that is being monitored. But let's move on to slide 15 for more details. At a glance, a monitor resource is just yet another resource with similar characteristics as any other system automation resource. It is identified by its name, it has a resource type of MTR, and it is instantiated on a particular system. With the monitor resource, you can monitor anything that allows you to derive some health status information. It can be a job, some sort of hardware, a file system, anything. A monitor resource is always available by default, but you can of course code dependencies in your automation policy to start it, for example, only during prime shift or when its monitored object is available itself. Monitor resources can be linked to applications or groups of applications through a pass-monitor relationship that we will see later on. This allows to propagate the health status to resources that are somehow related to such a monitored object. The health status itself can be collected actively, that is, interval-driven, but also passively, in which case events or messages can cause a health status change. For periodic health monitoring, a so-called monitor command is invoked at each monitor interval that returns a well-defined health status for this interval. Let's go to the next slide to see what health states there are. System automation distinguishes five different health states. They range from normal to fatal, and the gradients warning, minor, and critical in between. The special health status unknown is used to express that no monitoring has been done yet, in case of active monitoring, or no event has been received, in case of passive monitoring. A failed health status indicates a temporary problem, whereas a broken health status indicates a permanent problem. In both cases, we don't really know what the real health status of the monitored object is, since the monitor resource failed to get it. But in case of failed, a retry is attempted in the next interval, and in case of broken, manual intervention is required. The health status is tracked by SA's Automation Manager. The Automation Manager is responsible for propagating the health status and for finding the most severe health status when multiple different health states are accumulated at a certain level. Whenever the health status changes, the Automation Manager can trigger recovery commands defined in the automation policy. Let's have a look at how applications or application groups are linked to monitor resources real quick. On slide 17, you see that you can define so-called has-monitor relationships from applications or groups to monitor resources. This relationship is optional, but if you defined one, this means that the health status of a monitor resource is propagated along this relationship graph in the opposite direction. I'll come back to this in a minute. What you also see is that a monitor resource can be used by multiple applications or application groups. Also, an application or application group can have multiple monitor resources. Only the recursive ownership of monitor resources isn't possible. Let's move on to see how the has-monitor relationship is used to propagate the health status. As you would expect, the accumulation of health states is done such that only the most severe health status is rolled up to the next higher level. If one MTR has a warning health status, while another one reports critical, when these two health states are accumulated on group level, the group's health status becomes critical as well. Applications or groups that have no direct or indirect has-monitor relationships report a health status of NA. I mentioned before that the health status change can trigger automation. In the case of move or server groups, it automatically will trigger automation. Slide 19 shows how. The health status is just one of five states that system automation keeps track about. To simplify decision-making, these five states are mapped to what we call a compound status. Regarding the health status, a mapping schema as shown on slide 19 is used. normal, mapped to satisfactory, warning, minor and critical, mapped to degraded, and fatal, mapped to problem. For the two group natures just mentioned, a fatal health status leads to a compound status of problem. And this in turn causes the automation manager to start an activity on group level. It attempts to bring the group into a satisfactory status again. This means that the manager has to select another member on the same or on a different system and start it to reach the individual availability target that was set for a particular group. Let's move on to look at two examples. On slide 20, the first example that I have is that of an active monitor resource that checks whether a particular host can be reached through a simple ping command. The monitor command defined for that monitor resource consists of these 8 lines of REX code. If the host can be pinged successfully, the monitor command returns health status 3 that maps to normal. Otherwise, it returns the health status 7 that maps to fatal. You could, of course, have a more sophisticated health evaluation by also measuring the time it takes to receive the packets and then return any of the gradient health states as well. But what I wanted to show you is that you can implement your installation-specific monitoring yourself with just little effort by issuing system commands or any NetView command or script. Later on, you will see how to obtain exceptions from OmegaMon using monitor commands rather than coding your own scripts. Let's go to the next slide for the second example. On slide 21, a passive event-driven monitor resource is shown. System automation treats a monitor resource as a passive monitor resource if no monitoring interval is specified. So instead of scheduling a monitor command periodically, as this is the case for active monitor resources, a passive monitor resource must be triggered on behalf of events or messages. With system automation for CUS version 3.1, the use of passive monitor resources has been made really simple for the automation administrator. You merely specify the messages that indicate a certain event and assign a health status to it. System automation makes sure that the necessary automation table entries are built to set the health status as is defined in your automation policy. The example shown here stems from the Jest2Mon monitor resource that is shipped with the Splash Base Best Practices policy in SA. That monitor resource is expected to report a critical health status whenever the Jest2 main task starts to loop. In such a case, the system issues message $HASP9202, and system automation catches this message and sets Jest2Mon to the health status critical. The automation table snippet shows you what happens under cover. Let's move to slide 22 to see how recovery can be done depending on health status changes. Each monitor resource allows you to define a set of commands that can be executed each time the health status changes to a certain level, for example critical, or changes at all, or both. This is very powerful as it allows you to distinguish different recovery strategies based on the severity of the health status. It also allows you, in addition, and independent of what recovery actions you take, to issue a command each time the health status changes, regardless what the actual status is. For example, you can send an alert to the SA Integrated Operations Manager each time the health status changes, which in turn will notify someone for further action, while system automation tries to cure the incident automatically with a recovery command for that particular health status, as defined in the automation policy. In the example shown on slide 22, assume there is a server group with a variable number of members that are dynamically started or stopped as required by that workload. If a monitor command identified latent demand and set the health status to critical, the recovery could be just adjust the availability target of that server group. SA would then automatically increase the number of members in the group. If the monitor command detected that the latent demand fell below a low threshold, the health status can be set back to normal. The recovery command in this case could be to adjust the availability target once more. As a result, SA would stop all members not needed anymore. On slide 23, you see how monitor resources are managed by the operator. The NetView command facility display ING list shows all the automated resources, including monitor resources. From there, you can start or stop the resources. You can also look at further monitor resource details by selecting the DISP MTR display. Besides the NetView command facility, monitor resources are also shown on the status display facility, SDF, the NetView management console, NMC, and on the Tivoli Enterprise portal, TEP. Let's go to the next slide to see an example. This TEP workspace is used to show you at a glance how well your systems and its applications are doing. The top view summarizes the various health states of your monitor resources. The bottom view shows you the details for each and every monitor resource. So, for example, you see the monitor resource status, the health status, when the object was last monitored, and the status message at that point in time. The link button allows you to navigate to the resource details workspace where you see further monitor resource details. With this, I'd like to finish the excursion to monitor resources. The last topic we'll now discuss how to use OmegaMon and OmegaMon XE together with system automation monitor resources to perform health monitoring and to proactively automate on health status changes. Let's move to slide 26 now. System automation provides the single monitoring interface ING-OMX to interact with any of the OmegaMon Classic and XE monitors, with the IBM Tivoli composite application management products, and any other IBM Tivoli monitoring product running on CUS. In the original version of ING-OMX, shipped with system automation for CUS version 3.1, only the OmegaMon Classics are supported. You can issue OmegaMon Classic commands to access any performance and availability information provided by these monitors. Exceptions can be queried periodically to derive a health status of your MBS, KIX, DB2, and IMS environments, and to react on health status changes. The new version of ING-OMX goes one step further. Using the SOAP interface of the Tivoli Enterprise Monitoring Server, it is possible to retrieve any attribute from any data object collected by any product in the IBM Tivoli monitoring space. The queries can be tailored, for example, to filter for certain critical attribute values only in order to reduce the overall amount of data returned to the requester. I'll talk more about these capabilities later on. Instead of monitoring exceptions periodically, as done in version 3.1, system automation for CUS version 3.2 can be triggered whenever a situation becomes true. Remember the Tivoli Enterprise Portal Situation Editor that allows you to specify a so-called reflex automation? This function allows you to issue a system command in direct response, like a reflex, as the name says, to a situation. For automation purposes, you can issue an SA command that informs SA about this incident. By setting up monitor resources with corresponding recovery commands in your automation policy, you can set the health status in case of such incidents and issue the appropriate recovery command. To make a long story short, with version 3.2, system automation provides now a single monitoring interface to all IBM Tivoli monitoring products to access performance and availability data from the various performance monitors and to use this data to understand the health of your applications and your system. Translating this low-level resource data into higher-level health states allows you to automate more on a business level rather than on a resource level. Let's go to the next slide to briefly cover the classic side of SA's monitoring interface, ING-OMX. The OmegaMon Classic support requires that you define so-called OmegaMon sessions through which communication with any of the four classic monitors is accomplished. System automation allows you to define these sessions in your automation policy. All session attributes like the VTEM application ID of the monitor or authentication information are specified in the policy. You use the ING-OMX monitoring interface to issue OmegaMon commands and tell what you want to accomplish. You don't have to care about establishing or recovering sessions. All this is done by system automation automatically for you. Another nice characteristic of this interface is that regardless whether you talk to the KIX, IMS, DB2, or MBS monitor, the usage of the interface is always the same. They only differ in the actual command that is issued for that particular OmegaMon. Once a session is defined, it can be used by automation operators as well as human operators logged on to NetView. Let's go to the next slide to see how you can manage your sessions. In large shops, it may happen that you have more than a handful of OmegaMon sessions. To give you an overview about all the sessions that are defined as well as to see their current status, the NetView command facility command ing sess is provided. It lists all the OmegaMon sessions defined with the current status. You see the session attributes and which NetView autotask handles the session communication. From this panel, you can start or stop the sessions manually if you need to do so. Recall, sessions are started implicitly under cover upon first use. There's normally no need for you to care about. If you're interested in the activity that is going on for each of the sessions, a detailed panel with further statistics is provided to you. So, for example, you can see how many times exception monitoring was invoked and how many exceptions have actually been found. This is a measure of how effective the automation is in handling all those exceptions compared to what you had to do if you did all this manually. On slide 29 and the following slides, I'd like to take you through the exception monitoring architecture that was introduced with system automation for COS version 3.1. The focus was on simplicity. You can accomplish this exception monitoring without a single line of extra coding, simply by making the necessary definitions within your automation policy. Of course, if there are more sophisticated objectives, you can do this as well, and I show you in a few minutes how to do that. So what I'd like to show you is the process of how exceptions are monitored, a health status is derived from an exception, and how to react on health status change to recover from this incident. The process begins with exception monitoring itself. You see the monitor resource MTR in the middle of the picture. In this case, it is an active monitor resource that periodically checks for exceptions at a particular OmegaMon monitor on the right side. As a result, all exceptions that this particular OmegaMon found are returned, if any. Please move on to the next slide. In the second step of this process, all exceptions that are not of interest are filtered out. Please move to the next slide. In the third step, one message is created for each single exception that remained after applying the filter. System automation issues an ING OADI message that will be processed in the NetView automation table. Note, such messages aren't issued to the syslog, but remain within NetView only. Please move on to the next slide. The fourth step is now the NetView automation table processing itself for each single ING OADI message. System automation creates the necessary rules for you automatically. These rules allow system automation to identify the monitor resource and to set the health status for such an exception based on your definitions in the automation policy. If you have defined commands for a particular exception of interest, these commands are also executed on the course of handling the message. Please move to the next slide for the final step. The fifth step, eventually, makes sure that the health status is propagated to the application if a has-monitor relationship was defined from the APL to the monitor resource. So to summarize, this exception monitoring architecture uses standard functions of system automation and NetView to monitor a set of interesting exceptions. System automation allows you to define rules that describe how to react should such an exception occur. In its most simple deployment, it uses the monitor command routine ING MTRAP that requires no further coding on your side. But before I talk about ING MTRAP, let's first have a look at the general monitoring interface ING OMX as far as the classic OmegaMons are concerned. So let's go to slide 34. ING OMX is the single monitoring interface for all OmegaMon and IBM Tivoli monitoring products. For OmegaMon Classic interaction, ING OMX is used to interact with a particular OmegaMon through a session that has been defined in the automation policy before. One possibility is that the operator, or an autotask, asks for exceptions that are outstanding right now. Another possibility is to issue a command of interest to retrieve detailed performance data. The data returned can be processed by REC scripts for further use. An example is shown on the foil. It assumes there is a session called OMSY for MVS that is defined in the automation policy. As the name suggests, it is an OmegaMon for MVS session. You see how to issue the CSAA command and the output that is returned. It is similar to what you'd get if you entered the command on your OmegaMon for MVS monitor directly. There are more sophisticated applications of the INGOMX command, such as the use of the modifier character, command parameters, major and minor commands, that I cannot cover within this presentation. But I think you got the idea of how the command interface works. Let's move to slide 35 for the INGMTRAP monitor command that I mentioned previously. INGMTRAP is a monitor command that uses INGOMX on the covers solely for retrieving exceptions. It can be only used by an active monitor resource to derive the health status for particular exceptions. As the picture shows, INGMTRAP gets the outstanding exceptions from a particular OmegaMon. If there are no exceptions, an INGO81I message is written to the monitor resources log. Otherwise, for each instance of an exception, an INGO80I message is issued, caught by the NetView automation table, and then processed according to the definitions made in the automation policy. Of course, the INGO80I messages are also logged within the monitor resources log. The monitor resource log will tell you over time whether exceptions were found at all, and if so, which ones. And so this helps you to follow the development of the health status over time for this very monitor resource. On slide 36, I'd like to show you how to define the monitor resource to accomplish this. Here is a short example. In the monitor resource definition, the monitor command INGMTRAP is specified. It is passed the name of the session and one or more exceptions. In my example, it is the XCSA exception that is true whenever the common storage area below 16 megabyte utilization exceeds a user-defined threshold. Along with the command, you also tell system automation how often the monitor command should be executed, for example, once every 5 minutes. To set a health status, you define the exception in the monitor resources message policy and select one of the 5 health states. In addition, you can issue commands, for example, one command when the exception occurred the first time, another command on the second pass, and so on. If the command is a recovery command, and the recovery can take a while, it is possible to disable further additional recovery that would be triggered by subsequent exceptions found during that time. On the slide, you also see an example of the INGO80I message that would be issued for an XCSA exception. Unless you have specific requirements, for example, to look at a particular message token, this message is processed automatically by system automation, and you don't have to worry about NetView automation table syntax to deal with it. Now, I am on slide 37. What does change in SACOS version 3.2 when it comes to situations rather than exceptions? Well, the architecture looks similar. However, the means to get situation information is different, and so the polling and the filtering is obsolete. On the right side, rather than talking to a particular OmegaMon monitor, situation events are sent directly out of the IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure to system automation. This is accomplished through an SA command that is specified as reflex automation for each situation of interest within the Tivoli Enterprise Portal's situation editor. The SA command, called ingsit, produces a trigger message that in turn enters the same path as shown for the INGO80I message explained previously. With the definitions in the automation policy, each situation can be mapped to a monitor resource, the monitor resource's health status can be set, and commands can be issued in response of the situation. New with version 3.2 is the capability to use the standardized Simple Object Access Protocol, or SOAP in short, in response to a situation. With SOAP, you can query related data from an OmegaMon XE or other ITM product or manage situations on the tip automatically. I will guide you through a scenario later on. But before, let's move to the next slide to have a closer look at how this works. Slide 38 gives you a more closer view on the situation triggering process. You can now bind monitor resources to a particular monitored object and or job name. With this enhancement, any trigger, whether it is a message, a situation, or any other event received by system automation, can be linked to a particular passive event-based monitor resource. Talking about OmegaMon XE situations, the monitor resource health status is set as follows. In the tab situation editor, you specify an ing sit command as reflex automation and pass it the name of the situation, a severity, and optional user data with it. When the situation becomes true, ing sit is invoked on the managed system and it generates a triggering message called ing150i. This message runs through the NetView automation table that system automation generated for you based on your message definitions for all resources. For ing150i messages, the generic routine ingmon is called, which in turn locates a particular monitor resource based on the prefix situation name. It is itm.situationName, and also based on the severity of the situation. The assumption, of course, is that you have defined a monitor resource before with a corresponding monitored object name, which is again itm.situationName. For such a monitor resource, you have defined rules what to do in case message ing150i was issued. These rules, so-called code matching, allow you to set the health status by severity and to select a specific set of commands by severity. So to summarize, in order to be notified by OmegaMon XE situations, you only have to provide the individual ing sit command as part of the situation reflex automation and the monitor resource definitions with a monitored object and also rules for handling the situation triggering message ing150i. That's it. In some cases, you might want to get more detailed data in case of situations. For example, system automation for COS should be informed whenever one or more jobs have excessive CPU utilization. Rather than having a situation for each and every job, one single situation would be sufficient. Now, whenever system automation for COS is triggered, it must get a list of those jobs with excessive CPU utilization before taking further action. This can be accomplished through the SOAP service ctget that allows you to get any attribute from any object or table being collected by the various OmegaMon XE or other Tivoli monitoring products. On slide 39, you see a summary of the SOAP requests that are supported by ITM 6.1 on COS. So, for example, in addition to collecting data, you can start or stop situation monitoring. You can automatically acknowledge, reopen, or close situations. It is also possible to issue universal messages that are shown on the tab's universal message console. And the CT alert service allows you to send an alert, much like a situation, directly to the tab. To illustrate how such a request looks like, see the ctget example on the left side. You may notice the syntax of this example request. It is written in the extensible markup language, in short XML, which is a means to structure information in a standardized and platform-independent way. For SOAP, XML is used to describe the request itself and its parameters, but also the output of a request is returned in such an XML notation. What you see here is just the request itself. When system automation for COS sends out the request to the appropriate SOAP server, it first packages it within a so-called body and then puts everything into an envelope. This is the way required by the SOAP standard, how requests are sent over the network. But since SA is dealing with the latter, I don't want to confuse you with all the details here. You merely have to care for the request itself. The ITM Administrator Guide explains the requests and what XML elements can be specified for each. I'd like to briefly explain the ctget request here. It starts with an opening element called ctget, enclosed in pointy parentheses, the lower sign and the greater sign. It ends with a corresponding closing element. Note, closing elements are called the same, but start with a slash. Note the element names are all case sensitive. Within the request, you can specify a user ID and password to authenticate the requester if SOAP server security is enabled. For the other XML elements, it is best that you think about an SQL request. The object corresponds to a certain table, for example, OmegaMon XE's address space CPU utilization object. Each table has one or more columns. Here we call them attribute. And each table has several rows, so to filter some of them, instead of a where clause in SQL terms, an A filter is used. You can specify any valid attribute that you want. You can also specify one or more filters. They are logically ended together, and whatever is returned after applying the filters is returned to the requester in an XML format. When you issue SOAP requests from within System Automation for CUS, you don't have to deal with XML processing yourself. System Automation delivers the response to you in a format suited for the NetView pipe processing. How can you issue SOAP requests from System Automation for CUS version 3.2? This is shown on slide 40. Here, our common monitoring interface ING-OMX comes again. You can call it and reference the SOAP request, similar to what we have just seen on the previous slide, as well as the SOAP server. The SOAP request can be in a data set, or you can also create it dynamically through a user-defined REC script. The SOAP server is defined in the SA customization dialog, where you store the necessary information required for communication. Depending on what your SOAP request actually contains, the SOAP server processes this request itself or forwards it to another TEMS. Eventually, when the request could be satisfied, the response data is transformed into an XML output that again obeys the SOAP standard rules, that is, envelope with body containing the actual response data. System Automation then removes the envelope and transforms the response data into a tabular message while removing all the XML text at the same time. So much to the health monitoring infrastructure in System Automation for CUS version 3.1 and the new version 3.2. On slide 41, I'd like to start with the first out of several scenarios that illustrate the power of health-based automation. Assume you are in an IMS job, and the goal is to react automatically on an increased demand for IMS processing capacity. With System Automation, you can define a server group with many IMS regions, but only a subset of these regions needs to be active normally. But when the demand grows, System Automation should activate additional regions. For System Automation to know this, let's say you have a monitor resource that collects OmegaMon data and or exceptions to detect that the IMS queue fills up faster than it gets processed. Based on this, the monitor resource's health status is set to critical. Now let's go through the scenario step by step. In the beginning, the availability target of the server group is 1 and life is good. Please go to the next slide. When the demand grows, the monitor resource's health status changes based on the evaluation of the data and or exceptions returned by OmegaMon. When the health status becomes critical, an action is executed. Please proceed to the next slide. In fact, the recovery command for health status critical was to issue the SA command ING group in order to increase the availability target from 1 to 2. Please proceed to the next slide. And as a result, System Automation automatically starts a new IMS region in that server group. The monitor resource's health status is reset and life is good again. Of course, I know that this example oversimplifies this process a little bit, so please excuse. So for example, what I did not show you is to find out when you can decrease the availability target, again, based on decreasing demand. But I think you got the idea. Let's go to slide 45 for another scenario. Here, we'd like to monitor address spaces on CUS that are heavy exploiters of the common storage area. We use the OmegaMon Common Storage Analyzer to understand the usage of common storage both below and above the 16 megabyte line. At a certain threshold, we like to inform the operator automatically and set a health status. Of course, System Automation could also cancel some address spaces if a critical point is reached. But this could be dangerous when you don't know whether the storage is actually owned by these address spaces and the system cannot delete it automatically on memory termination. So initially life is good. We see some occupancy of SQA and CSA storage. We also see some orphan storage. But as there is plenty of common storage at this point, there is no need to react immediately. Please proceed to the next slide. When common storage area utilization exceeds a certain threshold, the health status is set to warning and the operator is notified. No further action is performed by system automation. Please proceed to the next slide. If the utilization increases even more, the health status is set to critical. Again, the operator is notified, but now also the system programmer with a request to clean up orphaned storage. This cannot be done automatically. Please proceed to the next slide. When orphaned storage was deleted and the common storage utilization still doesn't decrease, the system remains in a critical health status, as the monitor resource shows. The IT staff must now decide whether they can cancel one or more address spaces or perform an emergency IPL. In both cases, system automation can be used to automatically provide a candidate list of jobs to be canceled, but also to proactively move work away from that system to ensure that the business isn't affected so much by this IPL. Let's move to slide 49. The next scenario that I'd like to show you is related to excessive CPU usage. Here, we'd like to detect looping jobs and, if possible, eliminate them. OmegaMon is used to monitor the CPU usage of the system, but also of individual address spaces or jobs. A monitor resource sets the health status to warning if the system CPU utilization exceeds a certain threshold. In this case, the operator or system programmer is notified, but no further action is taken. But once a single job exceeds a certain threshold, system automation is allowed to cancel the job. So, in the beginning, life is good. No job exceeds the individual threshold, and the system threshold isn't exceeded also. Please proceed to the next slide. At some point, the overall system threshold is exceeded. The monitor resource sets the health status to warning and informs the operator and system programmer. Please proceed to the next slide. Now, job 2 exceeds its individual threshold. The monitor resource has detected this and sets the health status to critical. As a result, system automation can now cancel the job to relieve the situation. In reality, of course, system automation wouldn't do that blindly, but execute the cancel command for selected jobs only. An example are test jobs identified through a naming convention. Let's move to slide 52 for the last scenario. Here comes a scenario that is more centered around the Tivoli Enterprise portal. System automation should be notified in case of an auxiliary storage shortage and then add a new page dataset proactively. It also manages the situation on the tab so that no human operator has to look into this event as well. So how does it work? It begins with a tab where the operator has defined a situation called auxiliary storage shortage, and with it, ING SIT was specified as reflex automation. When the situation becomes true, it is highlighted on the tab's event console. At the same time, system automation is triggered through ING SIT, which in turn issues message ING150i. The monitor resource associated with this situation has a rule to add a new page data set and the health status is set. But this is not all. In step 4, system automation also issues a SOAP request to tell the operator at the tab that this situation is acknowledged by the automation. System automation also sets up a timer for monitor the page data set utilization after a while to see whether the automated action was successful. This was step 5. When the monitor detected that the page data set utilization is normal again, the health status is reset and a SOAP request is issued to close the situation. However, if the monitor detected that the situation is still not resolved, the situation is resurfaced. Now, the operator sitting in front of the tab knows that human intervention is required. Let's move to the next slide. On slide 53, there are a few other scenarios and ideas for health-based automation that I haven't illustrated specifically as I did for the scenarios before, as the pattern is always the same. So, for example, you can use the techniques shown to monitor any link between kicks and DB2 or IMS. When links break, system automation can restart them automatically. A health status indicates the abnormal situation and alerts IT staff if it doesn't change to normal in the time allowed. One can also monitor kicks transient queues. If they start to fill up faster than being unloaded, the priority of the update transaction could be increased automatically. When DB2 or MQ archive log data sets become short, system automation can set the health status to notify the administrators, but could also schedule jobs to provide new log data sets. System automation can also be used for NQ monitoring and set the health status based on the contention being found. As an automated action, jobs or transactions holding critical NQ resources might be canceled. And there are many more scenarios where you could imagine that some automated action would help you to limit the degradation of your applications and your system, or just point your nose to such incidents in the most simple case. So it's time to wrap up. Let's go to slide 55. In this presentation, I have shown you into what direction system automation for COS is moving. Based on the solid, policy-based, goal-driven automation concept, system automation for COS handles all the daily operational tasks already for you. The next step in the evolution is to move towards an even higher automated environment, which allows system automation not only to react when an application or system failed, but already before at the first signs of a potential incident. You have seen that system automation for COS interoperates with the Tivoli OmegaMon and OmegaMon XE monitors, as well as other monitoring products on COS that are based on the IBM Tivoli monitoring infrastructure. This monitoring data can be used for health-based application automation and therefore allow system automation for COS to proactively take action if the health status of applications or the system changes, but before a failure occurs. This proactive automation leads to higher availability, higher efficiency, and overall to a much more improved IT service management. On slide 56, I have listed a few publications related to today's topic that are worthwhile reading or deliver valuable detail and background information. On the last slide, number 57, I'd like to point you at the websites and user group communities for the system automation product family, in particular to those for system automation for COS. With this, I'm at the end of the presentation. I'd like to thank you very much for your attention and return now to the operator.
Thank you, Jürgen. Now we'd like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a live Q&A session with the presenter. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time that you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key, followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Question 1. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. Or if it was low, press star 3. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. Was the level of technical information presented in this teleconference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. Or if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, we'll pause for just a moment. And question three, are you currently using the IBM OmegaMon product to monitor ZOS performance? If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Question 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you're interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no, press star 2. Again, we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone a chance to respond. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your touchtone telephone. Again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask the presenter a question. And at this time, I'll turn the conference back over to Jürgen. Once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And our first question will come from Paul Hall.
Hi, Jürgen. Very good presentation. Just a quick question. The SOAP interface between the SA and the OmegaMon product, is that something that's going to be available with SA 3.1 or will only be available with 3.2?
Thanks, Paul. This interface will only be available with 3.2.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
And once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question will come from Hugh Dawson.
Yes, hi. My question regarded the packaging for SOAP and then also for UA, in that could we make some special deal if we had SA and the OmegaMons involved?
I'm not really sure whether I understood your question regarding packaging. The interface that we provide is part of the SA 3.2 product. The other side of this interface belongs to the IBM Tivoli monitoring. So basically what we are talking to is a Tivoli enterprise monitoring server, and this one is packaged either standalone in a free-of-charge product offering called IBM Tivoli Monitoring Services, or it is packaged along with your OmegaMon XE products or composite application management products on COS or also on the distributed platforms.
Okay, thank you.
And just as a final reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time, and we'll pause for just a moment. And Mr. Holtz, it appears there are no further questions at this time. I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing comments.
I don't have any more comments. I hope you enjoyed the conference. If you have any more questions later on, my email address is on the front side of the presentation, so please don't hesitate to contact me. Thanks a lot.
That does conclude today's teleconference. Thank you for your participation, and have a wonderful day.